18 tonight is where we'll spend our time at tonight in the Word of God. I just want to talk tonight on, I will love thee, O Lord. That's what the psalmist said here. I will love thee, O Lord. And I want to talk tonight about why I love the Lord and why I would say I love thee, O Lord. Tonight, I would assume that you're here tonight because that you love the Lord. Because what He has done for you, what Jesus done for you on the cross of Calvary, when you asked Jesus to come into your life and He saved you, I would almost say that you're here tonight because you love the Lord. And I love the Lord tonight. I love Him and I thank Him for His Word. I thank Him for what He does in my life, even when I don't deserve it, how He reaches down from heaven and He touches every need that I have tonight. If you have a copy of God's Word, I would ask you to stand tonight as we reverence the reading of God's Word tonight. Psalm chapter number 18 and verse number 1, the Bible says, I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even into His ears. Let us pray. Father, I love You, and I thank You for this night. Lord, I thank You tonight for the prayer request that's been mentioned around this room tonight. I thank You for the lady that's not having seizures no more, Father. Lord God, I thank You tonight for that. Lord, I thank You tonight for the ones that are in here that has come to say that they love You and lift up Your name tonight. Lord, I pray that You just bless us real good tonight. Lord, I pray tonight as we study a portion of Your Word, Lord, that You would just open it up in a mighty way. I pray You would open our ears to hear. I pray You'd open our eyes to see. Lord, I pray that You'd speak straight to our spirit tonight. Father, I pray tonight for all the unspoken requests that are in this house tonight, Father. Lord, I'm asking You tonight, Father God, to bless the ones that were unspoken tonight. Lord, I pray tonight for Sister Joanna, Lord, as she got up and she sung tonight. Lord God, I pray that her job would be secure in You, Father. Lord, I pray You'd open the door that needs to be opened and shut the one that doesn't. Father, I pray it tonight in Jesus' name. Father, I pray tonight for Sister Christy tonight, Lord God, I lift her up to You as they've adjusted her shot today. Father, Lord, I pray it would bring her help. It'd bring her relief. It'd take out the pain. Lord, it'd help her tonight, Father. I pray it'd be a help and not a hindrance tonight in her walk for You. Father, we love You. Lord, we praise You. Lord, we glorify You tonight. Lord, I pray tonight that You have Your will and way in this service. I ask You to guard my throat and guard my thoughts. And let me explain to Your people tonight just how good You've been, Father. Let me brag on nobody but You tonight. Let me brag on You tonight. And I'll be careful to give You the honor, the praise, and the glory. I pray tonight that You increase and I decrease. I ask it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name, and all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Tonight as we come here in Psalm chapter number 18, we see tonight, I will love Thee, O Lord. Tonight as we come and we look at this, what the psalmist said, and David called upon the Lord, and the Lord answered David and delivered him from all his enemies. That's what the Bible said, that he called and he delivered him from all of his enemies. And this was David's response. You say, preacher, what was the response of David, or what was the request of David? Anytime you see in the Bible where it says, oh, the big O, oh, Lord, that means they're requesting of the Lord. That means they're asking God for something, or they're giving Him praise and they need Him to move in a mighty situation. So when he says tonight, oh Lord, my strength, he says tonight, this is my response and this is why I love the Lord. I say to you tonight that he said, I love the Lord because he had a personal relationship with God Almighty. He had a personal relationship with God. And you say, preacher, how do you see that tonight? I see several attributes that he had here in the Word of God in the first three verses. I see several attributes. Number one tonight, I see that personal relationship that God Almighty, the Lord God, was his strength. He was his rock. Look what he says tonight. He said, the Lord is, in verse number 2, the Lord is my rock. If you'll turn with me to 2 Samuel 22 in verse number 3 tonight. I want to show you tonight, 2 Samuel 22 in verse number 3 tonight, where he said that the Lord is my rock tonight. He is who I need tonight. He is who I stand on tonight. He is who I look to tonight. He said, I have a personal relationship tonight with the Lord God Almighty, and he is my rock tonight. Look what David said here in 2 Samuel 22 in verse number 3. The Bible says, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior that saveth me from violence. You say, preacher, was he his rock? Oh, David knew that God was his rock. David knew all the way through his life that God was his rock. But he also said that God is my rock. Look at that personal relationship he has. He said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. You say, preacher, what is a fortress tonight? What kind of attribute would that be that he would be a fortress tonight? That would be this, that God was his stronghold or God was his embankment. When David needed relief from the stress of this world, Sister Joanna, and David needed God to move, he said, I look to you, number one, as you're on my rock, but number two, you are my fortress. You're who I hide behind. You're who I get behind. You're my hiding place. And in 1 Samuel 24, 3, you remember this, that Saul was hunting David and he was going to kill David. If Saul got a hold of David, he was going to kill him. And there was a cave that David and his men got hid in, and they got hid back in the back of the cave. And Saul and his men come and they were going to kill David. They were going to kill him if they found him. And Saul and his men laid down to take a nap or to go to sleep. And oh, David, he knew Saul was out there in the same cave that he was in. And instead of going out killing Saul, you know what the men told him? They said, go kill him. There he is. All you got to do is go take his life. But old David knew that God was his strength, that God was his rock, and God was his fortress. So what did old David do? He went up to where Saul was. And the King James Bible says when he got to where Saul was, he didn't awake Saul. He didn't do nothing to Saul, but reached down and took his knife. And the Bible says that he cut his skirt off, the back of Saul's skirt. He slit it off. And the next morning when time got up and they went to move on, oh, David come out of that cave. He came out of that hiding place. He came out of that fortress. He came out of God. He came out where he needed to be, and he hollered at Saul. And he told Saul, he said, see, you were hunting me and I found you, but I didn't do you no harm. Why? Because the anointing of God was on you, and I didn't want to hurt you, but I just want you to know that I could have done anything I wanted to you, but God is the one that hid me. Hey, tonight when the evil of this world is coming against you, you remember tonight that you can hide in God. Hey, he is your rock tonight, and he is your fortress. He was hunting David, but God had David where he needed him to be. I see tonight that personal relationship, that God was his rock. I see tonight that he said, not only is he my rock, but he's my fortress. Oh, David said he's not only my fortress. Look at this one tonight. He said, but he is my deliverer tonight. You remember when David was going to fight a Goliath, and they said, David, you can't fight him. He said, you're too little. David, you're too little to fight Goliath. A Goliath is a big old man, and he will just slew you. He will kill you. And oh, David said, oh no. He said, I want you to know God's my deliverer. He's delivered me from the lion. He's delivered me from the bear, and he will deliver me from Goliath. Amen? And I want you to know tonight, no matter what goes on in your life, you can stand and say that the Lord God is your God. Amen? You stand on that tonight. Let him be your rock. Let him be your fortress. And let him be your deliverer in your life. The one that carries us safely out of places that we need to come out of. When David went in there to fight Goliath, you know what God did? God delivered him. He said, you come to me with this sword and this spear. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. He said, what is that, preacher? If you're fighting a battle tonight, stop fighting it with your hands and fight it on your knees tonight. You'll win more battles on your knees than you will using your hands, using your mouth, or using what you think. I'm telling you, if you're losing a battle, it's because you ain't on your knees. You get on your knees before Almighty God and you go in the name of God, I want you to know that you can get to that place and you have that personal relationship where you can say, God is my rock, God is my fortress, God is my deliverer, and my God is my God. Amen. Look what he says here. The Lord is my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. My God. He said, he is my God. He is my God. Can you say that tonight? He's my God. The God of the universe, he is my God. Listen, there's nothing going to come in your life that he can't take care of. Why? Because he's God tonight. Look, turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 62, 6. There is none other. He's the only God. Psalm 62 in verse number 6. Even though other gods are trying to take over in our life, he is the only true God. Amen? He says tonight is a personal relationship. Look what he said about him being my God tonight. Psalm 62 in verse number 6, he says, He only is my rock. He said, God only is my rock. Psalm 62, 6, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. He said tonight, if you want to know this God I'm talking about, He can be your rock and you don't have to worry about being moved. Let's move on down in verse number 2, though. I see that He is my God, but also He is my strength. This is the second time in two verses that He said that the Lord was His strength. Tonight, I want you to get this. For God to be His strength, God, number one, had to be unmovable. If you're going to tie off to something that won't move, whatever you tie off to has got to be unmovable. It cannot move. It cannot vary. It's got to stand the test of time. Can I say to you tonight, the only God is the only God, Jehovah, who I'm talking about tonight, the God of Jacob, amen, the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham, is the only God that is unmovable. He is the only God that has never died, amen, and cannot die. Glory to God. He is unmovable. He is unshakable, and He is the rock on which I stand. He is unmovable, He is unshakable, and He's the rock on which I stand. Let's move on down. He said, not only is He my deliverer, not only is He my God, not only is He my strength, but He is my buckler. And tonight, I want you to get this. What is a buckler tonight? What will a buckler do? Look what he said. He said, He is my buckler. He is my shield. He is who I need to shield me. He shields me. A buckler is also a hedge tonight. He is the hedge that is around you. You would have been destroyed tonight if it wasn't for the hedge of God. You and I are no defense against Satan. They ain't a person. They ain't a Christian you know. You give me the fired up, as toughest Christian you know, and he ain't nothing compared to Satan. We only have fire power against Satan through the name of Jesus Christ. Satan will eat you alive and he'll eat me alive, but he can't do nothing with the blood of Jesus. It's the bloodline that he can't cross, and that's why God said, I am your buckler, I'm your strength, I'm your fortress, I'm your deliverer, and I'm your buckler. He said, I'm your shield, I'm your hedge, I'm your defense, I'm the one that protects you. When everything else has fallen in, he wants you to know that he is the one that protects you. Let's move on here. Boy, it's doing me good. Don't it do you good? To know he's the one that's got me tonight. He said he's my buckler and he is the horn of my salvation. You say, what does that mean? The horn of my salvation. The horn of your salvation means this. He is the one that sticks out in your life. You shouldn't be sticking out. He should be. The horn will be the peak of your salvation, or it will be the light of your salvation. It is what will get your attention. It is what will hold you. It is what ought to be the peak of your life. You should never get over being saved. He is my salvation tonight, and he is the horn of that. He is what I hold on to. He is what holds on to me. He is what I'm wrapped around tonight. I have wrapped myself up in my God. Have you tonight? I'm talking about wrapping yourself up in him until you can't see yourself no more. All you can see is Jesus Christ. I want to ask you tonight. I'm talking about get wrapped up in him tonight. I mean, get wrapped up, wrap up in him so much that nobody can see you. All they can see is Jesus. He said, he's my salvation, but I love this one. He said, and he is my high tower. He is my high tower. I want to give you what a high tower is. A high tower is a safe place. A high tower is a high place. And a high tower is a tower that is inaccessible. Nobody can get there. The enemy can't get you there. The only way you can get there is through faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, when he's your high tower, he's going to take you when storms come. When David is writing this psalm in Psalm 18, David knows what it is to fight battles in his life. He knows that storms rages. He knows that battles come. He knows things are coming his way. He knows that Saul wants to kill him. He knows that Goliath... You ever notice in David, everybody's wanting to kill him? Read your Bible. Everybody wants to kill David. And what's David done wrong? Up to a certain point now. Amen. Up to a certain point, David ain't done nothing wrong. Everybody just wants to kill him. Everybody wants to kill this man. Why? Because he's a man of God doing the will of God and doing what God's called him to do. And even though that David gets to a place in his life that he commits a sin, a major sin, he's committed adultery, he's committed murder, he's done all these things in his life, God still says this is a man after God's own heart. Why? Because he's a man of God. He's made a mistake. Tonight I'm telling you this tonight. You need to cry out. I need to cry out that I love God. Amen. No matter what's going on in my life, no matter what battle's coming, I need to know he's my high tire. I need to know when I'm getting overwhelmed with the things of this world and things just crashing in and I don't know what to do, I need to get back to where he is. I need to get back to the basics of life. Get back to the basics of the Bible and what God's called me to do and get back to that high tire. Climb back up to where he is. Say, God, I want to be right in your arms. I want to be right where you're at. I don't want to be down here doing things that don't please you. I want to get back to where you are. And let him be your high tower once again. The enemy, it's inaccessible. The enemy cannot get there. You ever thought about that? The enemy can't get you there. Where does the enemy get you? When he isolates you and puts you out all alone. That's where the enemy will sift you and try to get you. And David said this. He said, I will love thee, O Lord. And he told you that because he had a personal relationship with God Almighty. Even though he'd been through battles, even though he'd been through storms, even though he'd been through all kinds of things, he said, I love the Lord. Tonight, can you say that? I just love the Lord. So I see that tonight. He had a personal relationship. And I want to show you tonight his personal but powerful response. If you know God as that in your life, I want to ask, do you know him like that tonight? Do you know when you call on him that is him the one answering? Do you know when you call on him? Is that the kind of prayer that you've got tonight? Man, when you're in trouble, you don't call everybody else, you call God. Because you know he's going to answer. He had a personal relationship. If you don't have a personal relationship tonight, he's not answering you. You know and I know that God don't hear a lost man's prayer. Listen to me tonight. He don't hear a lost man's prayer. Them are vain, vain prayers. They don't get no higher than the ceiling. It's a child of God tonight. It's one that's been born again. You say, well, what about if I'm lost? He'll hear a sinner's prayer. He'll hear when that man comes to the place that he repents and asks the Lord to come in his life. And he gets a relationship. And once you have a relationship, then you have a powerful response that'll come in your life. Once you have a relationship. But if you don't have a relationship, God's not responding to you. You say, well, I'm breathing. Lost and saved, breathe. I got money in my pocket. Lost men and saved people got money in their pocket. I got a good home. Lost people got good homes. Saved people got good homes. That don't mean you're right with the Lord. That don't mean you're right where you need to be with the Lord. What means I'm right with the Lord when you say, I love God? I don't care what goes on here. I love God. I love the Lord. Psalm 18, Brother David. When y'all come to listen to me over in Mississippi, that's the verse. I hope you got it wrote in your Bible. You didn't write that one. 2013. Come on. 2025. Them stuff that means something to me. We were sitting over in West Morville, Mississippi, going for a view of a call to be the pastor of that church. 2013. January 2013. David Barnes calls me, leaves me a voicemail. Call me back. I called David back. I said, hey, David, what's going on? Hey, it's David Barnes. Can't get you right now. Bye. Click. I told Brandon, that's the biggest smart aleck I've ever heard. And they said he's the chairman of the deacon at the church. She said, well, I don't know. I asked the Lord tomorrow at work. I said, he's a smart aleck. I said, I don't know if I can pastor somebody like that. I can, by the way. I can. I mean, we got 12 years in here. I can handle that too. Amen. I love you, man. So anyway, we rode on there. And I said, well, I'm going over here. He said, can I come over there? I said, yeah. I preached Psalm 18 that morning. I'll never forget it. Never forget it. We went to that other church when they were sitting in the parking lot waiting on us to come out. We went in. People of that church said, listen, all we want Sunday morning. We don't want Sunday night. We don't want Wednesday night. We don't want VBS. We don't want nothing. All we want you to do is just come in, preach on Sunday morning, go home. That's all we want. I said, I want more than that. God's called me for more than that. Well, I tell you what, you better go talk with them folks. That's all we want. You know how many preachers die just to preach one time a week? You know how many preachers would love just to preach one time a week, draw a check and go on, eat some chicken, have a good time? You know how many preachers would love to do that? Just to make a job out of it, just to make a career out of it? Can I say to you tonight, I'm not in it for a job, I'm not in it for a career. It's a calling that He's put on my life to preach the gospel, to preach the truth tonight, to tell you that there's a God in heaven that can be your strength, He can be your high tower, you can count on Him. If you get a personal relationship with Him, you can count on Him. I'm telling you now, He will not let you down. We went over to eat. Me and Brandy was on a fast together because we knew we was going somewhere. We didn't know where we was going to pastor a church, but we were going somewhere. So we was on a fast over 30 days. Man, I ain't ate nothing fried, Sister Patsy, in 30 days. I ain't drunk no Diet Mountain Dew, Sister Christy, in 30 days. I'm talking about, son, I'm chomping at the bits. And they said, we're going to carry you to all-you-eat buffet up here on this. We walked up there, and the first thing I looked at was fried chicken. Crushed that, I'm telling you, crushed that meatloaf with the ketchup on it. I'm talking about like Marie used to cook it. Ketchup on top of it, that thick, just baked on it. Brandy said, what are you going to do? I said, you better not get all that. We got to go. We got us some peas that had been boiled. I got to the table, and I had a pile of peas that big and that tall. Honest God, truth. I covered that thing in ketchup. I gotta get some flavor. We eat that, and we leave. We come back to the church. There's a couple trial sermons. Don't really know what the Lord's doing, but he said, preacher, what'd you do? We trusted in God. 2013, we trusted in God. We'd been fasting. I asked Brandy, I said, what do you think? She said, I ain't got a clue. What do you think? I said, I ain't got a clue. I said, if we can just go over there and make it a year, just a year, and them not kill us and us not kill them, hey, we'll be good. All I've heard is most preachers don't last but a year or two anyway. If we can get a year, we good. You know what I'm saying? I said, you pray. She prayed. Listen, don't miss this. I'm talking about He's your high tower. He's higher than you are. He knows more than you know. Hey, Mr. Know-it-all, He knows more than you know. Hey, Miss Know-it-all, He knows more than you know. He knows it all. He knows it before you think it. He knows it before you speak it. We got to praying. One morning she woke me up, Brother Cody, at 3:21 in the morning. She said, BJ. I said, yeah. She said, it's 3:21 in the morning. I said, yeah, let's go to sleep. She said, man, the Lord's woke me up. And we had an alarm clock at that time, a big one. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Big red and blow, you know, glows. She said, he's trying to tell us something, I think. I said, nah, just go to sleep. Be all right. Next morning, she woke up at 3:21. She's like, BJ. I'm like, what? She said, it's 3:21 again. She said, listen, if he wakes me up at 3:21 in the morning, I said, baby, I don't know. I done told her at that point. I said, hey, I think we should go. What do you think? She was a little hesitant. He said, why don't you just leave without her? Just go on and do what you want to do because we're one. When we got married, we became one. No more twain, but one flesh. Became one. That's why when you lose a loved one, you don't get over it. It's an amputation. You don't get over it. When they die, you don't get over it because you've been amputated. Half of you's gone. Next morning, she woke up 3 days in a row, 3:21. Next morning, she woke up 3:21. She said, what do you think? I said, I don't know. Let's just meditate on it and pray on it. That's about 2 weeks in. I've been talking to David. And I said, me and her talked and talked and talked. See, God knows more than I know, and He knows more than you know. And we had to step out on faith. But He revealed to us that if you'll just 3, 2, 1, go, I'll do more than you can ever imagine. But you've got to go before I can do what I can do in your life. You say, preacher, was it rough leaving? Man, I'm telling you right now, when we stepped out on faith, it was the roughest thing we'd ever done. Roughest thing we'd ever done. Didn't know where we was going or what we was doing. All we knew is when we stepped out, is we just stepped out and said, we love the Lord. And He put us right in a church that loved the Lord. And it's just been a good time for 12 years. He had a personal relationship, David did. And he got a powerful response. Let me show you this. Let me show you the response that David had. When I preach Psalm 18, that comes to my heart every single time. Here's his powerful response. See if you notice it with me in the Bible. Look in verse number 1. Because he had a relationship, here's his response. He said, I will love thee, O Lord. Because he had a relationship, he said, I'll love thee, O Lord. Deuteronomy 6 and chapter 6 and verse number 5, the Bible says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. He said, preacher, how should I love God? You should love him with no hesitation. You don't hesitate when you love him. You just love him. No matter what comes your way, you love him. There's no hesitation, no matter what. That's David's response. He said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Let me show you what else he said he would do in verse number 2. Here's his response. He said, I will love thee, but he said, also I will trust. If you're going to love somebody, you've got to trust them. If you're going to love them, you've got to trust them. Somebody would amen that right there. If you're in a marriage, you've got to trust that spouse. It's hard. It's hard sometimes. He said, I love thee. And if you're in a relationship with Christ, you've got to trust him. And he's got to be able to trust you. He said, I will trust thee, O Lord. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. David Barnes knows this better than anybody probably. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. He said, preacher, how must I trust in God? You must trust him completely. No matter if you're on the hill or in the holler, all of it, you got to trust him. You got to trust him completely. You got to trust him courageously. I'm talking about courageously. You just can't trust him like, well, I got enough money, I can do it this time. You got to trust him when you ain't got enough and you pull it out and give it anyway. You got to trust him when it don't look good and you step out anyway. You got to trust him when he's behind you and he said, do it, do it, do it. And you can't just say, oh, you got to step. Moses and great men in the Bible would have never seen the hand of God like they did unless they stepped forth first. Joshua would have never been a mighty leader if he wouldn't have went forth. He got to step. You've got to. You've got to trust him completely and you've got to trust him courageously. When you hear something in your head and you think that is off the wall, but you know it's of God, you got to trust him. You got to trust that he's the one doing that. You got to trust him. You got to trust him. He said, preacher, it's hard. I know it's hard. But I'm talking about trusting God. And listen tonight. Like me and Brady, there's a lot in here. And I know what, man, it's just on me tonight. There's a lot of us in here got young kids. And they got to see mom and daddy trusting God. And not trusting their employer. And not trusting just what they got. But what they don't have, they got it. That's when you trust God. It's faith. Man, when you just trust him. Man, I seen a little girl today graduate college because she trusted God. I seen a little girl that when she used to be in cheerleading didn't get it, we stuck a cross in the bottom of that shoe. And she walked on that thing a whole year, Brother David. And I told her, I said, baby, don't you give up on God. He ain't gave up on you. Don't let the things of this world tear down what you got on the inside. And I'll put her up against any grown man praying. So she'll pray heaven down. Got a wall in a room with names on it. And if you need prayer, son, and when it's answered, she moves it to the answered side. Amen. Praise God. She knows what it is to pray. You say, yeah, but you're her daddy, you're a preacher. I ain't got nothing to do with it. That's her wall, that's her bedroom, that's her paper, that's her writing. But she trusts God. Man, I'm telling you tonight, your kids need to see you step out on faith. If you're living in the comfort zone and where everything's easy, you're not teaching them one thing about God. That's on me tonight. If it's all comfortable and it's all goody-goody, you ain't taught them one thing about God. If you're hiding all your pain and everything inside of you and you're not showing them how God can deliver you and deliver them, you've not taught them one thing about God. But when you're in a valley and you don't know where to go and you don't know where to turn, and you say, come on in here as a family, we're going to gather hands, and she ain't but about 10-year-old, and you get her in that circle, and you grab hands, and you start praying to God, and God answers it, and then you grab hands again, and you start thanking God for answering it, she gets a little bit of faith in her life. I'm just telling somebody tonight, your kids need to see you step out on faith. I'm talking about step out. Laying at home ain't stepping out neither. You got kids watching you. They ought not hear you complain about church. They ought not hear you complain about church people. If you ain't got nothing else to talk about at the table, just keep your mouth shut and don't talk about nothing.
I'm telling you right now, we got a generation that's going to hell, and it's the church people that's not doing their job to say, I love God. You move on me, God. You move on me. I'll teach my children. Man, it just gets all over me when I get thinking about it. I've got a 20-year-old out there that I want her to love God with all her heart. And I got a 3-year-old coming up. She said, preacher, it ain't my... Yes, it is. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 2, verse number 13. Listen to me tonight. If you're going to chew on anything, you chew on God in front of them. Man, He will bless you. Little Ryder, 3-year-old, and you know what he said last night, Brother Roy? He said, Mom, he said, Lord, help Mama. Lord, don't let me use bathroom in my pants. Don't let me get... Huh? That's on his little heart. I said, preacher, what'd you do? Just pray, buddy, pray. He got done. I said, Lord, don't let me use bathroom in my pants neither. Y'all think I'm crazy. Teaching them at 3-year-old. And some of you waiting until they get 30 and think you're going to teach them something. You ain't going to teach them nothing when they get 30. Tony, what if you ain't going to teach them nothing when they get 30? They going to do it their way. You got to teach them when they little bitty. You got to teach them pray for everything. And just because you can give them everything, don't give them everything. There's some things they need to work for. Whew, glory to God. Man, thank you, Lord. I love what He does when He does. Amen. What did I tell y'all? Hebrews 2, 13. Let me get over there. They waiting on us. I knew it'd be one of them kind of nights. Bless us, Lord Jesus. Hebrews 2, 13. And again. Preacher, how many times do I need to love God? How many times do I need to trust God again and again and again? Don't you get satisfied on Him. Don't you get satisfied. Don't get saved and satisfied. That's why churches die. They just get saved and satisfied. 77 men here tonight. Done count them. That's a good crowd. I'm saved and satisfied. 77 tonight. Got 190 here. We good. Let's quit witnessing. Don't you get there. Don't you get there. You'll have 7 in here. And again, I will put my trust in Him. I trust Him. And again, He said, how many times? I'm going to do it again and again, Brother Heath. Behold, He said, I want you to look and listen to this. Behold, I and the children which God hath given me. I'm going to teach them, number one, to love God, and I'm going to teach them to trust God. Brother Austin, I hope you're teaching your kids to love God and trust God. You sent me that video that little girl sang. So she was singing them Christian songs. You ain't going to teach her, oh, God will let you down. No. You teach them, I love thee, O Lord. I will trust thee, O Lord. Let me give you the last thing. I will call upon thee, O Lord. He said, I don't only love you and I don't only trust you, but I promise you I'm going to call on you. Look what He says in verse number 3. He says, not only do I love you, not only do I trust you, but I'll call on you. I'll call on you. He said, preacher, he's worthy to be called on. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be lifted up. He's worthy. He's worthy tonight. I will call upon thee, Lord. He's worthy to be praised. Save me from mine enemies. You said, was he a bad preacher? I wrote this down again. I told you this a couple weeks ago. I'll tell you again. When you're in a hole, quit digging and start calling. When you're in a hole, quit digging. All you're going to do is go deeper. Start calling on God. Start calling on the Lord. So what kind of place was David in? Look with me in verse number 4. David was in a dark place when he was trusting God, loving God, and calling on God. He's in a dark place. He said, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. He said, man, I was in a dark place, but he still called on God. Can I say to you, David was in a deadly place, but he still called on God. Look what he said. The sorrows of hell, you don't get no deadlier than that. He said, man, they were wrapped all around me. Sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. David was in a dark place. David was in a deadly place. I say to you tonight in closing, he still loved the Lord, trusted the Lord, and called on the Lord even when he was in distress. Not only was it dark and deadly, but look at me, if you will, in verse number 6. In my distress. I'm talking to somebody tonight who knows what I'm talking about, being in distress. Distress is nothing more than stress. Maxed out. One thing to be stressed and another thing to be distressed. Whew.
in my distress, in all the stress, Sister Joanna, had no clue what I was preaching tonight. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple. See, he's up on that high tower. Even though I got things going on, he's still high and lifted up. And my cry came before him, even into his ears. You go home and you read the rest of it, what he did there in Psalm 18. I wrote this down. Today and every day, I want to thank the Lord God Almighty for the personal relationship that I have with him. And when I call unto him, he responds powerfully in my life. Oh, I love thee, oh Lord. Let me tell you about what I'm trying to tell you tonight and round it up. Went to that graduation today. Left, got coming down 17. Come past the Sitco, Unocal, whatever you want to call it, crossed I-22, coming to Detroit. Top of the hill, Lamb's Old Motors. Blue lights everywhere. I'm talking about blue lights everywhere. They got a roadblock. 3:30 in the evening. I'm clean as a jaybird. I ain't got no drugs. We got a little unruly kid in the back, but that's about it. But all of a sudden, this is what fear do. Just because I've been around blue lights, when I look, blue lights. It just put fear. I can't help it. It just does that, Brother Roy. Even though you know everything. So the first thing Brandy says, you got the insurance cars? I'm not in my vehicle, we're in hers. So she says, here it is, calm down. Flips the visor down, pulls it out, says, you got your license on you? I'm thinking, yeah, but and here's how that stress, Sister Joy. Hope to God they ain't expired. I hope y'all understand what I'm talking about tonight. I love thee, oh God. Somebody talk to me. I'm clean. I ain't got nothing to worry about. But it just comes. And we're in a line. And here's what I said. I said, oh, Lord, I hope to God Riley Cagle's up there. And they pulling him over, sending him to jail like you click your finger. Hey, pull over there. Pull over there. He's got that old flat bill hat on. I can't really tell who he is. I just see the old long finger with a nail on the end of it over yonder. And man, all this anxiety. Come on now. Y'all don't just sit there. Oh, Lord, please let it be. Why do I want it to be him? Because it's somebody I know. In my time of distress and in my time of trouble, I want somebody familiar with me. I want somebody that knows my anxiety. I want somebody that knows the fear that rises up inside me. I want somebody that knows where I've been. Can I say to you, God knows your fears. He knows your anxiety. He knows what's going on inside of you. I roll up there. He spins around and he says, what's going on, preacher? So what's going on, Riley Cagle? I said, I got my license in my back pocket. You need me to get them out? He said, you good. Go on, preacher. I get rolling on through. Another cop. What's going on, preacher? I keep rolling. And they just kept saying, what's going on? I rolled that window up. He said, what'd you say, preacher? I said, I love you, Lord, and I thank God I'm not who I used to be. I thank God that there's a time in my life that I called on his name. Even though Satan, Brother Austin, still puts that fear and that anxiety when you see them lights, when you still see that coming your way, I got a safe haven, I got a high tower. Not only he does that, but he takes people and puts them in your path that when you roll up to that same spot, it gives you relief. Hope somebody got something tonight. If you're in here tonight, just say this, I love you, Lord. Mean it with all your heart tonight. Have that personal relationship so when you need him, every day, every second, every hour, and every minute, you'll have a powerful response when you call on him. Father, I love you. I praise you. I glorify you tonight. I thank you for this service. I thank you for your people. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your goodness, and I thank you for your grace. Whoever needed that word tonight, I pray you bless them and help them tonight, Father. Lord, we got children watching. We got kids waiting out there outside wanting to see what we're doing on the inside, Father. And Lord, we just here worshiping your name. We love you. We praise you. We glorify you. It's in Jesus' name. And all of God's people say, amen. Have a good week.